Loving Liberty Network proudly presents Heroes and Heroines, a weekly broadcast by Lawrence W. Reed, President Emeritus of the Foundation for Economic Education. Larry Reed has written nearly 2,000 articles and columns and is the author of 8 books. Most recently, the thought-provoking Was Jesus a Socialist? Loving Liberty welcomes you to Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed.
By what criteria should we judge people of the past? Their strengths alone? Only their foibles? No more than a select few moments? Or by the fullness of their lives? Is a horse race over when the starting gun goes off, or when the last animal crosses the finish line? It's not self-evident by our behavior that everyone could honestly answer these questions in the same way. Rushing to judgment on a small slice of knowledge is a national pastime, and it happens for so many reasons: to avoid deep thought, to affirm a preconception or ideology, to signal virtue, or to just run with the pack. As an economist and historian, I have often noticed men and women who fancy themselves intellectuals leaping to conclusions about an entire economic system based upon the flaws of a few people. One of the most colorful Americans of the storied but controversial Gilded Age from 1870 to 1910 provides a vivid and classic case in point. His name was James Buchanan Brady, who lived from 1856 to 1917 and is known in history as Diamond Jim because he wore precious stones in superabundance. According to a New York Times story reporting his death in April 17, quote, "Mr. Brady began to gather jewels at about 25 years ago. He had a peculiar fondness for diamonds, but his passion extended to all sorts of precious stones. My pets, he often called them. He wore a $9,000 watch, and in the handle of an umbrella he had set a jewel worth $1,500. His garter clasps, his suspender buckles, and even his underwear were ornamented with jewels," end quote. To translate 1917 dollars roughly into those of 2021, multiply by 21. So adjusted for inflation, that $9,000 watch would go for about $189,000 today. Brady wore a different, extensive set of jewelry every day of the month. For each set, he paid about $100,000, meaning that in 2021 dollars, he was decked out in more than $2 million of precious stones each day. The $6,500 that he shelled out for a pair of rose diamond eyeglasses for his dog would cost more than $136,000 now. No kidding. Diamond Jim was no braggart. He didn't boast of his wealth, but then he didn't have to. The jewels said it all. Today, it's doubtful anybody so gaudily adorned with dozens of diamonds, rubies, and emeralds could safely walk the streets of the Big Apple for long. But Brady never feared thieves or thugs. In a speech to some 800 members of the New York Society of Restaurateurs 1 year before his death, he praised the safety of the city. Brady's critics, then and now, are quick to point out another extravagance, namely his ravenous passion for food. At the table, it seemed Diamond Jim would eat anything and everything but the table itself. George Rector, who owned a fashionable seafood restaurant in Times Square, absolutely loved to see his bejeweled friend walk in the front door. He famously claimed that Brady was, quote, "the best 25 customers I ever had." In his entertaining biography, Diamond Jim, Prince of the Gilded Age, H. Paul Jeffers writes, quote, "A typical lunch consisted of 2 lobsters, deviled crabs, clams, oysters, and beef. He finished with several whole pies. Dinner included a couple dozen oysters, 6 crabs, and bowls of green turtle soup. The main course was likely to be 2 whole ducks, 6 or 7 lobsters, a sirloin steak, 2 servings of terrapin, and a variety of vegetables. Because Jim did not partake in alcohol, all of this was washed down with a carafe after carafe of orange juice," end quote. If all you knew about Diamond Jim Brady was his jewelry and his appetite, you might think of him as interesting at best, disgustingly grotesque at worst. But you would miss so much of this man's incredible life that your assessment would be more than a little incomplete. It would be grossly unjust and uninformed. The fullness of Jim Brady's six decades of life tells us volumes that should lead most fair-minded people to a more favorable view of him. Here's a sample. First, his was a true rags-to-riches story. Raised in poverty, he grew up brimming with ambition and a tireless work ethic. After a stint as a bellhop, he earned his way through the railroad business as a clerk to a builder of railroad cars to the best salesman of equipment to railroads that the industry has ever known. He proudly and accurately claimed that he had never spent a dollar until he had earned it. In his spare time, he was a savvy investor in stocks and bonds, generating a substantial fortune in those financial instruments. In the process, he encouraged the formation of capital for the building of all kinds of employment-providing, invention-producing enterprises. A third point is this. He was a fun guy to be around, a genuinely nice person and a big tipper. Even that New York Times story on his passing noted, quote, "Personally, he was an exceptionally sweet-tempered man who would go to the limit for a friend or to help someone in distress," end quote. One of his closest friends, another prominent New York businessman by the name of Fred Houseman, said that, quote, "Jim Brady was one of the greatest men this country has ever produced, not only as a salesman, but as a real man. There never was an appeal made to him for money or clothes by a man or woman to which he did not respond," end quote. What about all those jewels that critics like to criticize him for? He didn't take them with him. He generously left them to New York's Metropolitan Art Museum. And he was so grateful for the treatment he received once at Johns Hopkins University Hospital that it was that institution to which he bequeathed the bulk of his fortune, several hundred million in the dollars of today. He also left behind many grateful farmers, fishermen, and restaurateurs who hated to see him go. So on balance, what are we to make of Diamond Jim Brady? Well, take it or leave it, here's my assessment. He certainly had his quirks, his eccentricities. Who doesn't? He spent his money in ways that I wouldn't have. He ate too much, and his penchant for jewelry was not my cup of tea. But so what? He didn't steal. He didn't mooch. He didn't demand anything from others that wasn't owed him. Like the privileged nobles of government's past, he enjoyed the finer things of life, but with one big difference. He earned it. Being in charge of yourself, making unconventional choices, enjoying in your own way what your efforts and genius produce, isn't that what freedom is all about? So unless you're prepared to donate more to a hospital like Johns Hopkins than Diamond Jim Brady gave, don't judge him too harshly, or anyone else for that matter, until you know their full story. For Heroes and Heroines, this is Lawrence Reed.
Join us again next week for Heroes and Heroines by Lawrence W. Reed. Broadcasts are archived at lawrencewreed.com and lovingliberty.net, home of a growing network of allies for liberty.